Hallelujah. Thank you, Papa Joe, for a powerful message on communion. Communion is part of our life, part of our service, and it's something that we don't rush through it just to get through the day. Amen. It's a time of personal connection with the Father and with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Can you hear me? Well, I was glad when they said to me, let us go up to the house of the Lord to worship and to praise Him. Hallelujah. COVID-19 is not going to slow us down. No skins and plans that the enemy is going to slow us down. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm excited about the word this morning. You know why? Because I was challenged by the word all week. I had so many messages I want to bring, but God said, go to that one. That's the one that needs to be preached in church. That's the one that I got so challenged with. And I went to bed at 3 o'clock in the morning finishing this message. Hallelujah. So your pastor's been working hard. So don't think I just get up and come and give you the word. I have to prepare the word. Hallelujah. I've got to prepare the heart, prepare the mind, prepare the soul, prepare the spirit. Hallelujah. Turn around to your neighbor and give him a big high five, a knee five, or a fist five, or whatever kind of five you want to do. What is this world getting to nowadays, eh? We're shaking hands with our feet and with our ankles and with... Hallelujah. Well, let's pray for the word. Thank you. Lift your hands up. Raise your hands up before God this morning, because I pray that this word must sit inside your spirit. This word must be received in the spirit. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. God, we release your word. Father, your word is life and life everlasting. God, your word is a lamp unto our feet. Your word, oh God, is like a double-edged sword, oh God, that when it goes through, Father, that it will separate the bones from the marrows, oh God. Father, that transformation comes, oh God. Circumcision of the heart, oh God, will happen this morning, Father. Lord, starting in this house. God, if you have to start something, God, start it in this house, I pray. Father, start it in this congregation of people right here this morning. Start it with the life of every man, women, and children, oh God, this morning, I pray. We bring our hearts before you, open, pliable, soft, and ready to be transformed, oh God, by the Maker Himself. Papa God, you are our Creator. You are the Potter. We are the clay. You mold and shape us, oh God. Make us, Lord, according to how you want us to be. Not how we want to be, but how you want us to be. God, I pray this prayer in no other name but the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach. And everybody shouted and agreed and said, amen. Hallelujah. I get excited every time the Holy Spirit releases something. And you know what? The Holy Ghost never lets you go. When He gives you a word, that's it. You can try and go to every other word and find every other thing. And He said, no, I gave you a word. You stay on the word. Hallelujah. And so this morning, I release this word this morning, and I pray that those who have received it this morning will receive it and walk in it. Hallelujah. But let me just welcome everybody in Victoria, Max, and all the guys that have been following us and watching us. We're praying for you in Victoria. We know the hard situations that you guys are going through. We pray for your government. Hallelujah. That your government will change from the leftist government to become a government that is walking in the principles of God. Hallelujah. Pray for the Queensland government as well. Pray for your premier. Pray for your prime minister. You know, if the city has peace, we will have peace. Amen. It says in the word of God. Hallelujah. So don't just pray about the things that you want from God. Pray, because you are living in this city. We welcome you if you're watching from all over the Cairns, or all over the city, or all over the Australia states, or even overseas in PNG and Cook Islands. We know we got family watching there. Shalom, shalom. Hallelujah. Well, the Word of God has been so, it's coming strong. One of the things that we've been bringing in this church, and you will notice that we never go away from what God has actually set us apart to do. Now, 2020 Shift is not just a lip service. 2020 Shift already shifted. This is a year in 2020 that we need to shift, because you cannot wait till 2021 to shift, or 22 or 23 or whatever, how many 20s that are coming later on to shift. This is the pivotal moment to shift this year. Our lives need to transform and change here before we cross over, hallelujah, to the year 2021, we need to be a people of transformation. Amen. Hallelujah. The life in the kingdom of God is a life of discipline and obedience. Two very most important principles of God. A life of discipline and obedience. Many Christians fall into their own walk or fall from their own walk in Christ because of what? Lack of discipline and lack of passion, and most importantly, lack of obedience to the Word of God. Hallelujah. Obedience is the key to a powerful Christian walk. Nothing else will transform your life except through the obedience of the Word of God and discipline. It takes discipline to be able to walk in obedience in the Word of God. Amen? Hallelujah. This morning's sermon is so important for us to hear, not only to hear, but to take action and deal with certain areas of your life that needs to be dealt with. That's the whole key point of this message this morning. We have lost true repentance in church. Somebody say amen to that. There is no true repentance in church anymore. People are not having true fear of God anymore. There is no fear of God inside the church because we brought so much of the world into the church. We've brought so much of our own preconceived ideas about God and about how church should be done and about how things should be done instead of abiding by what He says. Hallelujah. We have succumbed to the influences of the world and how the world does things. Church has to come back to where the church was when Jesus left it. Jesus said, I will build my church and no gates of hell shall prevail. That is the church that is supposed to be walking and powering and empowering right now in this very time that we're living in. And 2020 is where we shift. Heaven doesn't wait for you. Heaven has already shifted. We are still trying to shift. But I pray that this morning you need to shift. You need to look into your own life and say, there are some things in my life that needs to be removed, like Papa Joe said this morning, and get rid of those things so that I be able to shift and move according to what the Shift 2020 principles is. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen to that. When I was reading John, I thought, oh man, I got so encouraged and I got so fired up by the words of John. John the Baptist, hallelujah. In John chapter 3, verse 79, see, one of the things that we lack is repentance and confession. That's something. My message this morning is the power of confession. If you understand that, if you're a person that always walks in confession every day, your life will be so powerful, ignited by the Spirit and the Word of God every day. Nothing will be able to touch you. If we walk in the place of obedience, in the discipline of the Word of God, and one of them, the key principles, and it is an attribute of God, is confession. Hallelujah. There is a famous statement that goes like this. The confession of evil works is the first beginning of good works. The moment you start confessing the evil, it is the beginning of the good works that are going to start happening in your life. Hallelujah. John the Baptist came preaching. In the days John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who has spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He says, repent. And Jesus said the same thing. When Jesus arrived, he says, repent. Repent means to complete turn around from wherever road you are actually walking on right now. Whatever road that you're following right now, if it's not from God, God is saying, repent from that and turn around. It's a total transformation. Turn around and go back to where God wanted you to be in the beginning. Have that same relationship as when he had with Adam. Hallelujah. That's what repentance means, is to actually turn around. True repentance is something that only comes from God. John saw that. And then on verse 7, it says, and when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruit worthy of repentance, and do not think to say to yourselves, we are Abraham, as our Abraham is our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these very stones. It was talking about you and I sitting right here, right now. John recognized that the Pharisees were not there for true repentance. He saw that and he says, show me the fruits of that repentance that you're talking about. The true fruit of repentance. Hallelujah. Where is that? I said last week, you cannot come to church, carry your sin with you like a baggage, walk into here, leave it outside the door, come inside, pay lip service to God, and then God said, carry your sin, and then walk out again. It does not happen that way, and we need to change. I am talking to Christians this morning. I am not talking about the world. The great falling away is already happening in the world. But I'm talking to people who call themselves Christians. My message has not changed. Hallelujah. If we are going to speak and become a voice like John the Baptist to prepare the world, the place for the return of Jesus Christ, then that's the kind of message that we need to preach. I got no other message to preach but repent. Turn around from your sins. Come back to where God wants you to be. Hallelujah. This statement says the confession of evil works is the first beginning of good works. Deep in the heart of God, there is a deep desire to forgive. Because of that desire, He set into motion the greatest redemptive work, which finished at the cross, but was confirmed on Resurrection Day. That work was confirmed on Resurrection Day. It was finished on the cross, but it was confirmed, hallelujah, on Resurrection Day. I love this. Love was the only thing that brought Jesus to the cross, nothing else. Golgotha came as a result of God's great desire to forgive, not reluctantly. He forgave because He forgave. That's it. God didn't say, I feel like loving these people today. If He's operating on feelings and emotions, you and I are going to be in trouble. He chose to forgive us. He chose to love us. Nothing more, nothing less. Jesus knew that by His suffering. Therefore, He actually absorbed all the evil of humanity and healed it, forgave it, and redeemed it on that cross, all at once. Hallelujah. Do you ever wonder why Jesus never accepted that painkiller that they gave Him, that hyssop soaked in vinegar, bad vinegar, old wine, and they tried to create this thing to put in this mouth? It's actually a procedure that they do when they're crucifying people. They gave Him some painkillers. Yeah, right. That's like that's going to work with some nails in your hand. Hallelujah. But that's what the Romans do. But Jesus, hallelujah, Jesus refused, listen to me, Jesus refused to accept any kind of painkiller because He wanted to feel every hurt that you and I go through. He wanted to feel every sorrow that you and I go through. He wanted to feel every pain that you and I go through. He didn't want to say, He didn't want any painkillers. He said, let me feel everything, hallelujah. I'm going to receive everything, every sin that was in the past, every sin that was in today, and the sin that they're still creating and making, that sin, I've forgiven that too. Hallelujah. Every kind of sin you want to call it, sin is sin. Sin. Sin is rebellion against God, rebelling against the things of God, rebelling against the principles of God. Hallelujah. There's no sins. There's only sin. Hallelujah. And that sin has all these other different attributes to it. All these other connections to it. Jesus said, every sin I've forgiven. He wanted to be completely alert for this greatest work of redemption. Oh, hallelujah. He wanted to feel everything. He felt everything on that cross for you and I this morning. Hallelujah. Therefore, we have no foothold or have no excuse not to forgive anybody. We have no excuse to walk in disobedience. We have no excuse to not love anybody. Hallelujah. We have all that. Those great principles in the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit is already in us. Those great fruits of the Spirit that God talks about, it's in us. Our problem is we don't want to use it. You have love whether you like it or not. You just don't want to love. That's our problem. You have forgiveness right there. You just don't want to do it. Because we were born into a sin-damaged world and we are walking with the enemy, the devil does things on this world. And we receive that, and we apply that into our life, and we continue to walk there until Jesus came and said, now, repent, for the kingdom of God is here, because in my kingdom, you cannot think and walk and talk like that. You got to change and transform. Hallelujah. In the kingdom of God, when Jesus came up and he says, you have heard that a man cannot commit adultery. Jesus said, but in the kingdom, hallelujah. He says, if you even look, that's how Jesus raised the standard and the bar in the kingdom. That's why we need to repent and turn around. So much that we cannot bear to reveal our failures and shortcomings to others. This is our problem. We must come to understand that we are a fellowship of sinners. Let me just go back there. He was ready to take and absorb the collective sin of human race. He took all the sin, past and present and future. This was his highest, most holy work that makes confession and forgiveness of sins possible. Without all that, we cannot forgive. Without grace of God, we cannot forgive. God gives you grace to do things. Amen. He graced you with gifts to be able to achieve something. And one of them is forgiveness. One of them is confession. Amen. One of them is walking righteous and holy. Hallelujah. Amen. The redemptive work or process is a great mystery hidden inside of God. It was hidden inside of God until it happened to you and I. It is not a mystery anymore for you and I sitting here. Why? Because we've come through that redemptive process. We know the power of redemption. We know the power of transformation. We know the power that the Holy Spirit gives us. That's why, therefore, it's not secret anymore. It used to be a great secret in God, but it's not anymore. Hallelujah. You are the greatest testimony of the power of redemption. Hallelujah. It was on this foundation that he knew or know that confession and forgiveness are realities that transform us. Listen to me. Confession and forgiveness transforms you. It doesn't transform the other person, you. You are the one that needs to do that. Hallelujah. There are many people who have this idea that Christ on the cross and redemption deals with salvation only. Yes, it does. But salvation, as the Bible speaks of, refers to far more than who comes to faith in Christ or who gets to heaven. You got to work on it, my friends. Hallelujah. Let me just bring the biblical view to this. The Bible views salvation as both an event that happened and a process that you and I are living in right now. Living a life in Christ is a process. You got to work on it. Hallelujah. You can't rely on anybody else to do it for you. You got to live it and walk in it, speak it, show it out. Hallelujah. And the only way you can do it is walk in redemption or walking in obedience. Hallelujah. And be disciplined. Discipline in what you do. Paul says to convert. The Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 to 14. Let me just read that. Powerful scripture. If you got your Bible, is it on there? Hallelujah. It says in chapter 12, verse 12, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but how much more in my absence. Paul was telling the church. He says, you put on this great act of holiness when I'm around. And when I'm gone, you start to live like the world again. That's why pastors have a tough job to keep up with people. Because people expect us to walk around, look at them, and walk, make sure that they're walking in salvation and righteousness and holiness. Listen, you have the Bible. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the power to walk in discipline, and on the place only that you can change, so we don't have to check on you every day. Paul says that. He knew what was happening. Then he says, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Verse 14 says, do all things without complaining. Somebody say amen. Amen. And disputing. Somebody say amen to that again. Amen. That you may become blameless, hallelujah, amen, and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of all the crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. Living Light Gospel Church. This name is not just a name, hallelujah. This name was born from a vision. This name of this place was born because somebody had a vision for it. And the people that are living, are walking and coming to church need to shine like that living light out there. We need to shine that living light of Jesus Christ out to the world, hallelujah. You wonder why you're still here? Because God needs you to shine that light, hallelujah. The Bible views that as an event and a process. Confession is a difficult discipline for us because we often view the church as a fellowship of saints. That's our problem, my friends. We think that everybody here is so high up in some powerful holiness that we can't keep up with them. That's happening inside the church. We view the church as a fellowship of saints. Listen to me. View the church as a fellowship of sinners who were redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And then you can keep up with everybody because you think that, oh, I'm so down here, and everybody's so holy, and I feel... No, no, we're all the same. All sinners, hallelujah. Redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And so when you view that like that, you're able to what? Confess to each other. Something that stops you from confessing is that you feel like, oh, this guy is too holy and I don't want to... No, 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 no. Open your mouth and confess before God. Because when you're confessing to each other, it's easy to repent. It's easy for God to fix it because God can find you. We try to hide from God everywhere and not try to repent and be openly open to each other. And then those we're supposed to be confessing to, they won't walk around like they're some holy, higher than mighty, some kind of a people that you can't get to them. And pastors are sometimes like that. Hallelujah. If that's from God, I'll tell him I'm preaching that word. Sorry. Thank you, Lord. We're preaching the word you want us to preach. Hallelujah. We must come to an understanding that we are a fellowship of what? Sinners who have been sanctified and cleansed by the power of the blood. Oh, somebody say amen to that. Redeemed by the Christ's finished work on the cross. Therefore, we are able to confess to one another easily. Because we know we are all sinners. Nobody is righteous and holy higher than anybody. We're all the same. We were redeemed by the same blood. The same power of transformation happened to us. Therefore, we can walk humbly and say, hey, you know what? I used to be like that. So I understand where you are. Let me pray with you. Hallelujah. Don't feel burdened by that. Don't feel. Every one of us are not perfect. I went through it. You know, when I counsel people or talk to people, I tell them my testimony. I tell them, listen, you are lucky to see, you're so blessed to see a good Ben Huckles right now. You should have known my life before. Amen. Shady characters we were. Amen. Hallelujah. But everybody was here. Pastor Ben Shady. We're okay. We're holy. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus can say things like that to you. Be holy, for your Father in heaven is holy. Yes. And we go, Pepe, shut up and be holy. Yes. There's no argument about what I say. My word is power. My word is principle. So align yourself with it and just walk with it. Mm-hmm. That's it. We must come to an understanding. All of us are sinners. Yes. Through confession, releasing the power of healing and restoration. Confession, repentance, brings the power of healing and restoration. Confession helps us to grow into mature people in the Spirit and bearing what? Much fruit in the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit that Papa Joe and I have been talking about. Hallelujah. People see you and they see the fruits. The very fruits that John said, show me the fruits of that repentance that you say. Don't come to church and pay lip service to God. We want to see some changes. Hallelujah. Oh, somebody say amen to that. And we all are guilty of that. In our past walk with God. I was guilty of that. Hallelujah. But the moment God shifted me, 2020 shift is not just a word of mouth thing. It's a thing that you need to do. You need to say, God, if there's anything inside of me that is allowing the devil to get a foothold on me, get rid of it. God is not going to get rid of it for you. You do it because it's part of the discipline that I'm talking about. He gives you grace to be able to do that. And you get up and say, God, I am disciplined. I'm going to be doing this. Amen. Hallelujah. It's about a process that we need to keep going and keep walking. Paul says, press into it. All the words that Paul says, he said, beat your body into submission of everything that God wants for you. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 13 says, till we all come to the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Oh, hallelujah. He said, you got to measure yourself to the fullness of Christ. That we should no longer be what? Children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. My goodness. People follow everything around like some robot or something. Somebody preach something, oh, wow, that's powerful, let's just follow. Check your Bibles. And when you do, after you finish checking your Bible, check the fruits in the very person that preached the gospel to you. Amen. Hallelujah. That's how you know. That's how you deal with false prophets and false teachers and all this stuff that's coming into the church, all the sheep and wolf skins. And you go stand on the Word of God and study it for yourself. Hallelujah. And check for the fruits. Carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of man in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. My goodness, Paul. Paul was nailing it down. Confession is both what? Grace and discipline. Why? Because unless God gives you the grace, no genuine confession can happen. It is through the grace of God that you and I can confess to each other. It is through the grace of God that we're able to do what we do right now. That is through His grace. Grace is not a license to sin. It is no license to sin. Without grace, no genuine repentance can be made. It is a discipline because it's a chosen course of action. Hallelujah. You have to do it. Like Nike says, just do it. Just get up and do it. Don't talk about it. Go and do it. If you need to confess to somebody, go and do it. If you need to repent to someone, go and do it. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. Or by the man Christ Jesus. James chapter 5, verse 16. And you all know that scripture. We all like to quote that scripture. Hallelujah. Well, I want you to quote that scripture and do the scripture. Amen? Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be what? Healed. The word confess means to what? Agree. Confess doesn't mean you talk to someone. Confess means you agree that you are in the wrong. Hallelujah. In other words, if God convicts you that something is wrong, you don't stand there and argue with Him. Amen. You don't. To confess means to agree that God is right. You don't go to court and play around with the judge by bringing all these false things to try and protect yourself after you've done something wrong. The judge will throw you in jail after they find out that you're guilty. Hallelujah. So when you come to God, it's easy to just say, God, yes, you're right. God says adultery is wrong. You say, God, you're right. God says that fornication is wrong. You say, yes, you're right. God says that is stealing that you're doing right now or lying. Yes, Lord, you're right. You're agreeing to God that He is right. Hallelujah. That, my friends, is confession. You agree that you were wrong and God is right. You agree that He is a judge over all of us. Hallelujah. That is why David was called a man after God's own heart. When you go before God, you say, God, you're right. I have sinned against you and against my fellow man. That's true confession. When you confess like that, hallelujah, something drops off. The weight drops off you. You become so light. It's automatic. It's just like that. The Spirit just lifts it off. Jesus just takes that heavy yoke off you and puts His yoke on you. Amen. Hallelujah. He says, take my yoke. Mine's lighter. Why are you carrying that heaviness for? Repent from it. Walk away from it and let me deal with that. Confession encourages the authority who is God to treat you with mercy and grace. When you come to God and say sorry, you give Him the authority to say, to forgive you. Hallelujah. When you go before God and say, God, you're right and I have sinned against you, God forgives you just like that. I like the word. He says, I have forgotten you, I've forgotten all your sins and I've thrown it into my sea of forgetfulness. Hallelujah. And He forgets everything. But one thing God wants you to remind Him of, He forgets your sin, but He reminds you that you said, He said, remind me of my word. What did I tell you? What did my word say to you? Quote it back to me, hallelujah. Pray my word to me, because the Holy Ghost operates on the word. Every time you preach it and every time you pray for it. That is why David was forgiven for adultery and murder. Why? He confessed his sins. David killed a man and committed adultery. Hallelujah. Double portion. Gold lotter right there. But he recognized his sin. The reason why God forgave David and restored him is because he never tried to cover it up. David never tried to cover his sins up. And I love his prayer. Psalm 51 verse 4. He says, against you, you only I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So he says, you are right in your verdict and justify when you judge. Hallelujah. David recognized his sin and accept the blame. We like to hide from everything and blame everybody else except us. We need to repent from that. We need to walk in true confession every day of our lives. Repenting and walking in repentance is something that we must do. It's a process that we must do to keep ourselves in the place of holiness and righteousness. Hallelujah. He said, Lord, I have sinned against you. Only I, he says. He didn't try to blame the woman. He didn't even try to blame the devil. Oh, the devil made me do that. He didn't do that. He said, God, I sinned against you. Only me. I'm sorry. Hallelujah. What a man. He said, I have sinned against you. Only I have sinned. He didn't try to blame anybody except himself. He said, Lord, I have sinned. Only I did this. All my fault. We have to become people like that. There's a saying that you say sorry even if you're right. Hallelujah. That's powerful. Amen. If you're a person that can do that, amen, just say sorry even though you are right. My goodness. That is a true follower of Christ right there. That's power. When you can do that, enemy has no foothold over your life. Devil can't hold on to you. Hallelujah. And I agree to you absolutely. Have mercy on me, says, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgression. He said to God, don't judge me according to my sin. Oh, hallelujah. Don't judge me according to my sin, but judge me according to your love and your grace and your mercy. Oh, hallelujah. What a prayer. That's how God is to us. But if we keep trying to hide sin and blame it on everybody else, it's everybody else's fault except me, then God can't forgive you. God can release all that stuff from you. Verse 2 says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Hallelujah. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me. That's a prayer of David. If you want to know about prayer of repentance, that's a prayer. Hallelujah. Saul, on the other hand, didn't agree or didn't want to admit to his sin. Remember the time he went and went to war and God says, go in there, get rid of everything, don't even bring the animals back. And Saul thought, there's some great sheep here. We can take it back and worship God with it. You know, I said, sometimes things that look good is not right. We like to do good things. God says, yeah, that's good, but it's not right. And I didn't want that. Hallelujah. And Saul coming back, and Samuel, or is it Samuel or Nathan, went up and says, did you follow every command of the Lord? And Saul said, yep, everything I followed, everything. I went and slaughtered the enemy and everything. And then he says, and what's that bah I hear at the back there? What are all these animals doing there? Hallelujah. Saul tried to cover up. You see, these are great principles to learn right now. Church, we need to learn this very fast. Many people are still walking in sin and they have not confessed it. This message is for somebody today. Somebody is walking with sin. Somebody hasn't confessed sin. Somebody is still coming to church, going back and forth to church, hasn't truly confessed and repent from that sin. John said, show me the fruit of that repentance. Amen. Hallelujah. The only way you know somebody is totally transformed and changed by the power of God is the fruit of the Spirit that grows inside of him or her. Hallelujah. Many people get so defensive after they're wrong. They're still fighting that sin. Friends, let me tell you, if it's you this morning, 2020 shift, it's time for us to shift everything and get rid of everything because we cannot walk around having something that belongs to the devil. Unforgiveness is something not from God. And it will destroy you if you carry that with you every day of your life. God is speaking to somebody. Hallelujah. This message is a sobering message for the church. Let me just give you this powerful concept that hasn't really sunk into the mindset of many Christians and even churches. The kingdom of God is not a democracy. Somebody say amen to that. It is a kingdom with a king. So in the kingdom of God, you don't bring your opinions to God. Amen. God doesn't care about your opinions. He cares about His word. Yeah, amen. Hallelujah. So in the kingdom of God, you don't bring your opinions to the king. You simply what? Obey what He says. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why I'm talking about discipline and obedience this morning. Obedience does not exist in a democracy. You don't obey your prime minister. You just accept him. But in the kingdom, you obey the king. Hallelujah. If you have that principle in your mind, you will be a person that's always walking in obedience to the word of God. Because you know that you serve a king. King Jesus. Hallelujah. But in God's kingdom, we simply need to obey his principles, learning the standard of his word and abiding by it. Jesus never came to abolish the law. Never did. He brought the spirit of the word back. There are great teachings about grace everywhere you look, and people get excited about grace. And you know, we talk about grace, and people just want to say, yep, grace, grace this, and grace that, and grace that. But listen, grace does not cancel your responsibility to abide by his word. Grace does not cancel that. It doesn't cancel your ability to abide by his precepts and his principles of his word. He didn't abolish that law. He didn't abolish his word. He didn't abolish his principles. He brought the spirit of it. It's supposed to be circumcised inside your heart by the spirit of God. Hallelujah. That word is not on paper anymore. It's sitting inside your heart. In your innermost being is where the word is. That word should be in your spirit right now. This word has to be in there. If it's floating around in your mind, you will still walk in and out of that place you're in. Hallelujah. Put it inside your spirit. Put it inside your heart, your subconscious mind, the hard drive of that computer you call a brain. Hallelujah. That carries everything that belongs to God. That's why God speaks to the heart all the time. Speaks to the inner belly all the time. Because inside the belly comes what? Rivers of living waters. Rivers of living water. Words of life come out of you when the right words and the right principles are inside your innermost being. Hallelujah. Grace does not cancel your responsibility to keeping the laws of God, the principles of the word of God. Matthew chapter 5 verse 17. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to what? Fulfill every word. Matthew chapter 5 verse 19. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches man so shall be called what? Least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of God. My friends, if you're going to preach the word of God, preach the word of God uncompromised. Preach the truth, hallelujah, because the truth will only set people free. Every other thing will confuse people. Every other thing that doesn't have the breath of the Holy Spirit upon it will confuse people. Spirit of confusion comes in. But you are set free. Transform when the truth hits you. Hallelujah. Amen. Hits you right in the chest. Man, when I had the first time I heard the gospel, hallelujah, I was never the same ever again. I thought, why didn't I hear that before? Why didn't somebody tell me about that before? Hallelujah. When that gospel of truth came out, the authority to forgive has already been what? Given to us. Jesus said, whatever you what? Bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. If you carry unforgiveness, heaven can release that. Heaven will bind it up there. If you carry hatred, if you carry offense, Jesus was talking about that. You are responsible for binding and loosening. The power of forgiveness is in your tongue and in yourself. You are the one that's got to do it. No one's going to come and say, I forgive you on behalf of him. You need to do it yourself. Hallelujah. Because he said, whatever you bind on earth shall be what? Bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth, oh, hallelujah, shall be what? Loose in heaven. Heaven will release everything to you if you loose it down here. Amen. And he will bind everything if you bind it down here. They will bind it up there. Everything that we see is a picture of heaven. That's why Jesus said, pray that the will of the Father is done where? On earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. John chapter 22, verse 23 says, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. Oh, hallelujah. You have the power. When you forgive somebody, you release the power that's living inside of you, the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost forgives people. Hallelujah. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. If you carry something with you, God can't take it off you. Listen to me. It is so important for us to understand true repentance and confession and to walk so clean and blameless before God. Hallelujah. What a wonderful privilege to be able to forgive one another, and we dare withhold all these wonderful gifts and stand in the place of unforgiveness thinking that we don't want to forgive. All that wonderful fruit of the Spirit is inside of you. Love. You choose to love. You choose to forgive. You choose to persevere. That's a discipline. Hallelujah. Coming to church and lifting your hands and worshiping whilst you're carrying an excess baggage that belongs to the devil, he will say, that's mine, and you can do whatever you want to do, but as soon as you get out there, you're still carrying my baby. Hallelujah. That belongs to me. And some of us walk around protecting this thing like it's so precious to us. We protect unforgiveness like it is so precious to us. We protect offense like it's something so precious to us. And who is the one that's going to power on that is in this situation? It's the person that you're supposed to forgive. He's living his life or her life, and you are carrying something that is destroying your life. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. God says, leave your offering and your worship and your praise and whatever you want to come and bring to this church. Leave it and down here. Go back and reconcile with your fellow man or whoever that is that you've got grudges against, or whoever you haven't forgiven or he hasn't forgiven you. Go back and do that. Then when you've done that, come back and I will receive that. Who? Hallelujah. Your life becomes so free. Our life has to be so transparent they can see straight through you. Hallelujah. Before I took this church, God says, go and kill one giant in your life. One giant. Every other giant I will get rid of, but this one is yours. You need to get rid of that. If you're going to stand here and release the words of life to the people, then get rid of the giant. Hallelujah. I did the journal on God. I ran away. I didn't want to face the giant. God sent a whale. And that whale had a name. And the name is Judith Hakalitz. And that whale came with a word from God. And that word transformed me straight from the time. I wept and I repented and I said, God, I'm so sorry. I'm going back to pastor this church. Hallelujah. I had to kill a giant. I can't come up here and play instruments and do all these things and pretend that my life is okay. I cannot do that. I get convicted straight away. God says, you cannot get up there until you sort yourself out. This is important for us. If we are going to be the church that is without spot and blemish, then that stuff, leave it outside. Don't even bring it into church. Leave it outside. Hallelujah. I don't have any other message, my friends. This is the message. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God is here. To live in the kingdom of God, we got to think opposite from how the world thinks. Amen. We are going to move forward and grow and bear much fruit, and we must walk in the discipline of what? Confession and repentance, because it brings an end to pretense. All this pretending things that we do in church has to stop when true repentance and true forgiveness comes. Hallelujah. We can't walk around and come and do things and then go out and still hate our neighbor or still have grudges against somebody. I don't like her because she's black and she's white and she's got a funny hair and she dressed weird and all that stuff has to stop. This is a word from the Lord this morning. Honesty leads to confession, and confession leads to what? Change. When you're honest about your sin, when you're honest about something that you carry and you confess it, it goes away and it brings change automatically into your life. Hallelujah. Amen. Human beings are such that we live together, always involving, every time we get together. Human beings were born to hurt each other. The Bible says, as surely as the sparks fly high, a man is born for trouble. We were born into trouble. We carry and act like the father of trouble, which is the devil. And God says, clean it up. Get rid of it. This is the time. 2020 shift is not just a word or a theme that we write on a piece of paper. It has to shift inside the heart. Why? Because heaven has already shifted. Heaven is waiting for us to shift so that heaven can release all that stuff that is holding back because of what we carry here. Hallelujah. Let this be a message for somebody today, and I believe this is a message for this church. Forgiveness is essential in church life because God chooses to forgive, and how dare we carry unforgiveness with us all the time. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. Somebody say, Pastor, that's me. I need to get this stuff out of me. You know, I go and watch people preach, and when they hit that spot, I go, yeah, Lord, that's me. I'm sorry. I need to sort this thing out. Hallelujah. My prayer to God is simple. God, get rid of it. Get rid of it. Hallelujah. It is God who does the forgiving, but He always uses human beings as His channel, as forgiving grace. God does the forgiving, but He uses us to forgive one another, to love one another. When we do that, we actually promote Him. That's why Moses can talk straight to God. Moses says, God, you are God, and if you're going to do that to the people, what do these other people that don't know God think about you? Moses always questions God like that. I love that. The integrity of God is so much that God will do things to protect His integrity. God blesses you not for your sake, but for His sake. God gives you a job, not for your sake, but for His sake. Amen. Because then you can go around and say, God gave me the job. He gets the glory. All got the honor, now all got the glory, now all got the power, and belong and tussle. Hallelujah. Amen. You are healthy. You are strong. You have a job. You have a family. You're breathing and living. Amen. He gets the glory for that. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
When He blesses you, His integrity is at stake. That's why He need to do it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Forgiveness is not pretending that it really does not matter. Oh, somebody say amen to that. Amen. Some of us say, oh, you know, He said something to me, but it really doesn't matter. I'm fine. No, you're not fine. Oh, that's all right. It really didn't hurt me. And inside of you, you're about to kill somebody. Let's all sit up straight. Come on, sit up straight. Breathe in. Oh, Pastor, that's so good. I received that word today.
Amen.
That is not forgiveness. That is lying. What you need is to really, truly not avoid reconciliation. Go and face that person. Go and say, I'm sorry. I was thinking about that. And I did this and I did that. I need to get it right. Listen, when you start to walk in the simplest forgiveness of life, then the big ones is easy. The bigger ones that's going to come against us, it's easy. We can forgive just like that. Hallelujah. We can love just like that. Why? He did it. I'm going to close. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Everybody say, unrighteousness. Hallelujah. That has to be cleansed. Matthew chapter 6, verse 15. But if you do not forgive others, hallelujah, nurturing your hurt and anger with results that it interferes with your relationship with God. That's really what it is. If you don't forgive each other, God can't nurture the relationship that you have with Him. Then your Father will not forgive your trespasses. It's a very sobering command for us today. True repentance, my friends, will lead to forgiveness, which will lead to change of heart, then leads to the change of action. 2020 shift should not be just a theme in our mouths. It should be something physical happening, manifesting in our lives and showing inside the church, flowing out of this building into the world, your communities, into your families, into the wherever that you are. Let that shift happen so that people can see and God gets all the promotion and God got all the glory for it. Let us trust God and obey God and just walk in that place. Faith, listen, faith and obedience are good traveling companions. They travel together. You cannot separate them. They're together. Faith and obedience. They travel together, hallelujah, through life. They grow together simultaneously as they are practiced. If it's not practiced, it will wither and then gone. If it's neglected, then it doesn't flourish inside the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Therefore, God sometimes brings new challenges into our lives to strengthen our trust and submission to Him. Challenges come to strengthen our trust and submission in Him. Fear, doubt, and unbelief short circuits faith when we begin to doubt that God's way is really the best way. Everything that I've released today, that's God's way. And we have to just align ourselves with that word and say, Pastor, thank you for the word today. That is my word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm done. That is the word of God to us today. I pray that this word will sit inside our spirit, inside your inner man, your innermost part of your belly. Hallelujah. If you need some prayer, for other things besides this very message that I brought this morning, that God is speaking to us, you know, those things you can do yourself. You can sit in your chair right now, or even at your house and say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for everything that I've done. I'm sorry for the things that I've said against this person or that person, or the thoughts that I've had against this person. You can do that right there where you're sitting. And I'm going to pray. Hallelujah. I want you to raise your hands. Close your eyes and raise your hands. We're going to pray. I pray that this message, this word will be forever inside our heart spirit, that we become people of confession, of repentance, that we will never use grace as an ability to not abide by God's word. Hallelujah. Father, you see your people this morning. Lord, they're all here. We are all here today. And those that are watching this morning on live stream, they're watching because you purpose them to be watching this message this morning. Lord, I pray one thing, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, I pray that this discipline and obedience, those wonderful, wonderful attributes of God, these are the things that you have placed in us. I pray, Father, that your Spirit, I pray that the Holy Ghost ignite those things inside our hearts. Father, that we are not people that are going to be just hearers of the word. God, that we will walk in the place of discipline, to be able to move ourselves in the place of obedience, to discipline ourselves, to walk according to your principles, your word, and walking in obedience. Therefore, the enemy will not touch us, God. Father, I come against every word spoken against your people this morning. Every curse that has been spoken against your people this morning. Whatever that has been causing them to be in that place. Father, in the name of Jesus, we break down every curse, oh God, every negative word spoken, everything that has been spoken over the people. Father, we pull it down in Jesus' name. Your word says in Jeremiah 1:10, you have given us authority, oh God, to uproot, to rebuild, to uproot, to destroy, and to rebuild. Father, we uproot everything that has been implanted by the enemy. Every tar that has been planted amongst the wheat that they've been sown. God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pull out all this stuff that is inside your people today. God, let your word sit inside. Let your word grow inside of them. Let the fruit of the Spirit, oh God, grow inside of them, hallelujah, so that we will be truly people that are people of the kingdom of God, that righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit will be our theme, and it's not just a theme from our mouth, oh God, but it will come from the inner parts of our belly to worship and worship you in truth and in spirit with pure hands and clean hearts, oh God. Father, I pray, and I pray that over your people this morning, help us, oh God, by your Spirit, to walk in the place of discipline. We give you praise, we give you honor, we give you glory. All the honor and the glory, big name, na strong na power, emblo yuta sol, Papa God. Mi blagim lo yuna. You kiss him all the glory. You kiss him all the promotion. You kiss him all the something where you deserve him, oh God. Lord, we thank you for our lives. We thank you for our families. We thank you for the air that we breathe, oh God. The oxygen that we suck up every day and be able to live and move and ever be, oh God, in you. We give you thanks. We give you praise. We give you honor. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all God's people agreed and said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You believe that? Did you believe what you just said? Amen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand this morning. Hallelujah.